Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid, Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. Right?
Oh. Right.
We're in there.
I'm so eager to get to the episode.
Can't even say hello, you're so keen. Yeah. Hello.
We did mention that we'd been to a wedding over the weekend.
We went to a beautiful wedding.
Two out of three of us did.
Yeah, you thought, fuck him, you're not bothered.
Changed my mind, I don't care.
You had food poisoning.
I had food poisoning. I was so unbelievably ill, it was horrendous.
Yeah. Oh,
bless you. I'm very, very sad.
Well, you had to go out the night before, got to go see Jesus Christ Superstar.
I know that poisoned me. Yeah. That's not good, is it?
Yeah,
something poisoned me, which was not nice. So
bless you.
I know, it's bad. You've recovered very well. But yeah, I know, it's bad, I missed you. It's weird, I've not been to something like that now.
Going to a wedding on your own when you're married, it feels weird.
Well, it was funny because there was moments where I found myself gravitating towards Omar, and then I was like, oh, my real husband's over there. And I was just chatting to Omar. Omar was in a delicious pink suit, which I really liked. Well, pinky purple.
Yes, thank you.
It was lovely.
Yeah, oh, well, we can put a picture on our social media of that.
Can do.
And then I'd look across the room and be like, oh, hi, Johnny.
in other Omar fashion news, I'm wearing my Aran jumper today in honour of
Paul.
PCB.
Yeah, in this Chris Evans Knives Out look.
Get the pole on.
Yeah.
Who wore it best?
Yeah. You're looking good, Omar, but Paul, he's just...
Oh, all right,
Jesus. He's a dreamy hunk of a man.
So you missed our readings then as well.
I didn't get...
You missed Sarah crying almost instantly.
Did anyone get a video of either reading?
I realised about 2-3 lines into yours starting, it's like, shit, I should be videoing this because no one else was doing it.
No, I think a capsule of just being in the room at the time is enough.
Yeah.
Yours was funny, mine was a soppy one, as predicted. But yeah, you made everyone laugh, I made some people cry, so I'm
lovely.
Happy.
Fucking happy with that. Off, I actually because I thought there would be people joining in, because now I can say, obviously, that I did some lyrics from a song for The Bride and the Groom. And The Bride's was Independent Women by Destiny's Child. Mm-hmm. And I thought there would be a bit of call and response, but there wasn't. It just ended up being me reading out all the bits that I thought they were gonna say. But it's fine. I did end up cutting it short. I didn't bother doing the chorus because I thought,
push
it too far.
I'd written something, bit soppy, but yeah.
Oh, no, it was very nice. It was genuinely quite moving.
That's what you need at a wedding. Some laughter, some tears.
Yeah,
you need both. Oh, was there a fight?
No.
Anyway, let the side down there.
Moving on to the real deal of the episode. Yeah, last night. Right.
This is what I was eager to say. Matt, sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
I fucking knew Brad was a dick. Yeah. I know I judged him just from the way he looked, which wasn't fair. But it's hard to say it's not fair when you've been vindicated and proven right.
Yeah.
I wasn't the only one.
It was really uncomfortable, wasn't it?
It was.
Really uncomfortable. We're talking about when Brad and Shona are on the sofa and he started laying into her for her personality. And as a forgetful person who loses their passport, I felt very personally.
But she didn't lose it. She lost it in her bag. That's what he said.
Yeah,
you lost your passport.
Just why don't you have
it ready?
It's
in her bag.
You know, the thing is, right, the irony is of all this, all the stuff he said would annoy me. But it's,
oh, it would, yeah.
It's like if you're going through an airport, like, have your passport. I've taken your passport for you through
airport. Normally, what we do, because we've not been abroad together until we got married.
Uh-huh.
So there was no, like, figuring out how we travel together
until it was too late
of the pandemic. But what we fell into a pattern, didn't we, of you just had the passports.
Yeah.
And that was better. That's fine. It's an easily solved issue.
I know where it is, instead of having to go through the whole, oh God, where's my passport? Search. Why don't you have a designated pocket?
And I think this is how Brad feels about Shona, but she took it, didn't she? Yeah. What was really sweet was that she was obviously thinking, I should have asked different questions.
I wish she'd asked different questions.
She was like, I want to hear what he loves about me, but she accidentally asked, what do you not like about me?
Yeah.
And he didn't even take a breather. He said 3 or 4 things without even...
Yeah.
He was like, this all annoys me. And the bubble was burst immediately.
Oh. Yeah.
You could just see it fall.
Yeah.
The look on her face just froze. In that sort of like, what is happening here? I don't know what to show on my face.
Yeah.
I don't know what to show on my face. I have to just listen. I have to just take it in. Her face just sort of froze. It was so sad. I felt really sorry for her.
It was like he'd been given permission to say all the things that had been bugging him because he didn't take a breath. He just came out with it.
Yeah. But the thing, I was going to say, it's stuff that would annoy me, but he should have acknowledged if he was desperate to get this stuff out there that these are all relatively superficial things.
Mm.
Like, everybody's going to have stuff that annoys you if you're in a relationship with them. But they're all kind of minor
but then some of his questions were so leading when he was like, what is the biggest responsibility in your life? And you guys are dog parents. Like, having a dog is a big responsibility. Having a house
is
a huge responsibility. But he made it seem like she was like this Polly Pocket plastic person with nothing going on in her life.
Yeah.
I have a child.
Yeah, there we go.
There it is.
As soon as he started down that route, the number of tweets that came in under one of ours just said, oh, I should be matched with Alyssa. I have a child.
100%.
Like, mate, you're not like some, you know, uber responsible person.
But didn't he have an accident? Like, no child wants to be called an accident, but he was 18.
Yeah.
I presume he didn't choose to have a child.
Yeah.
So he's almost weaponizing his own, like, lifestyle that he didn't pick against her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He set her up to lose there.
Like,
there was no way she could win.
Yeah. Magic up a pretend child.
I forgot to tell you, I have got a child. Yeah. They're 10.
I've got triplets.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still a complete shit show of a woman and I have 2 children. So I don't think it means anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still the one losing my passport and forgetting things. And like, I'm the Shona, but I have kids. So I don't think kids magically make you a type A person.
And they don't. I mean, obviously you have to be responsible for them.
Sometimes.
But sometimes.
You've got
but
to teach them the manners, is what he said.
That was a strange comment, as if she didn't have manners. Anyway. But he set her up to lose there. There was no way she could win. And if they'd had conversations about their lives, which they must have, he knows she has a house. He knows she has a dog. So why then ask her, what do you feel is the highest level of responsibility you've had?
It was so condescending, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was so condescending. And you could see her just crestfallen.
Yeah.
And then layered onto that, we found out that he'd been talking about private, like, sexual stuff.
Yeah.
I presume it was sexual. That's what was hinted at. Like, intimate stuff. When he'd promised not to. So actually, he was coming across as such a tool.
Yeah.
Through his own actions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it was about a lot of aspects of their relationship from what I could like piece together from what they said. But she said something like, we'd had a disagreement and then we agreed not to talk about it in the group. And then he did.
He said
all these other other things about their sex life and whatever else. So he kind of like tried to stop her from saying anything then just barged into the room with everybody else and just blurted it all out.
When No Filter George is saying that he's being disrespectful.
I know. It was interesting, wasn't it? And the group, when the group were meeting, sorry, we're jumping all over the place here, but we're just going to talk about the whole episode. When the group were sat in their couples on their, like, looked so spontaneous in evening, meeting up for a casual chat, like cardboard cutouts, they were all laying into Brad and Shona in a way that makes me feel like no one's really buying it behind the scenes. Yeah. And everyone's been given the ick of like the over PDA, but they're thinking like you cannot expect something you're calling a bubble time and time again to last, and she's been calling it the love bubble. I'm like, that does not sound like a permanent state of affairs, living in a bubble. It's almost like it had to burst, and then it's burst as predicted, and it was so uncomfortable.
Well, I know it was obviously very staged to try and replicate the genuine drinks party they'd had the night before, but Peggy looked like she was still smashing the drinks. Why not? Let's have a good time.
She's on the wines.
But this is one of the issues with maths, is that you want to see the genuine drinks party and what's going on, but then, you know, just how much are they going to film and stuff like that. So it's
I know.
And how much do we really want to watch? But you want to know what was actually said, because now we're in a situation where, you know, the sordid side of me wants to know what they've been getting up to that Brad's been telling everyone.
Well, 100%. And remember, like, if we go back to Maths Australia, all the drama hinged around Jessie, Claire, and did she kiss Dubry? What was his
Adam.
Name?
Adam.
Adam. And that was one of those nights out that wasn't filmed. There was a couple of snapshot photos, but like, had that night been filmed, we'd all would have known straight away what had happened, and there wouldn't have been all the drama. Last night, obviously, some people have been slagging each other off, and we just have to hear like third hand or second hand what was said. I'm starting to really trust Laura.
Yes.
Laura feels like she's quite a level-headed, will report back as was said and not maybe even exaggerate it too much. She said, this is what was said. She reported it back quite cleanly to Shona, without trying to overprotect her or hold anything back, but not over exaggerate it.
It was, I'm telling you what was said.
Yeah.
It didn't have a kind of feel like I want to spark a bit.
Yeah, it just felt like she was quite practically reporting back.
What an interesting person to choose to pull aside and say, she's childish, she's immature, she's this, she's that. Why Laura? That just feels...
Well, it sounds like he was telling everyone to be fair.
It does. But then Laura said, oh, he sort of grabbed me and pulled me aside.
Right.
And said, blah, 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 blah. So
you'd assume that you'd...
interesting one to choose.
You'd assume that with a situation like that, we would all pick somebody we think is going to be a yes person back to us and go, oh, I can understand. Yeah. So he must have picked Laura thinking she would agree with him. Laura is probably the most mature of all the girls.
Maybe.
And maybe he thought, oh, she's going to have my back here and be like, yeah, Shona is a child. But Laura's like, you're not talking about my girl like
well,
that.
Well, yeah, this is why I think, is there something...
But Brad's not as clever as he thinks he is.
Well,
he contradicts himself every other sentence.
Well, one of them was, I needed to vent to my friends. And then she kind of challenged that and said, yes, but we'd agreed that we wouldn't. And he sort of said, oh, yeah, okay, right. Yeah. And then later on in the kind of talk to camera bit, he said, oh, I'm really pleased now I can just tell her first and I don't have to vent to other people. But he'd already told her all of this stuff because we saw it.
He said, I brought up these things before and nothing's changed.
Yeah.
So why did you have to vent? You had to vent to your friends who you've known for 4 minutes or something.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
Friends, but not the whole room, maybe.
Yeah.
And I was just getting the sense from Brad that he's been like, he's chosen to be in this bubble, but they're in this bubble. And he's like, wanting to vent and wanting to show that it's not perfect, but he's like, who do I tell, feeling quite trapped potentially. And then I'm not saying that's not his fault, but then just letting rip with Laura and being like, this is what's wrong, and then letting rip with Shona herself, this is what's wrong. And it's like he's been dying to show that it's not perfect. Maybe, I don't know.
The other thing that, sorry, it's just reminded me, that was contradictory, is he was quite picky with her. Or you don't know where your passport is, but it's in your bag. You didn't pick your shoes up. Why don't you put the pots away?
Yeah.
And then he said to her, also another thing he didn't like about her, was not everything has to be a big deal.
I know.
It's like, Brad, can you hear what you're saying?
You can't find X, Y, Z. Is it really a big deal? You're the one complaining about it.
Is it really a big deal that her passport's in her bag?
Yeah.
But she just can't find it at this precise moment, or she didn't put the pot away. Like, those things are very contradictory, really. He's not, you know, giving her a break, I don't think.
Yeah, it felt a bit unfair, especially because I don't think she was critiquing him, because none of his questions invited critique.
Yeah.
So it's very one-sided. Her whole personality was sort of ripped apart.
His questions were about
It felt more like a bloody parents' evening, because it's like he laid into her, but she didn't have the chance to retort back. It's like, sorry, sir.
Well, at least, like, it wasn't dissimilar to Nathaniel and Ella, because I don't know what the hell he was meant to have done with his life. He was meant to write a letter about his experiences, I think, but he just ended up being him telling her that she's not opening up to him.
He was meant to write a letter to her about something she didn't know about him.
Yes, right. And he managed to switcheroo.
Yeah,
it was like,
it was like
It was like they're playing Uno, and he placed like the whip around card, because he ended up making it, the thing you don't know about me is I don't know enough about you. Yes. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that was it.
And bless Ella's little confused face. Ella is just gorgeous. I could watch her all day. She was just like so bemused about what was being said. And Ella is somebody who comes across as quite open. And I feel like if Nathaniel doesn't feel like he knows enough about her, has he been asking the right questions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which she was kind of saying that, I think, wasn't she, as well? You haven't asked me about this kind of thing. We haven't talked about this kind of thing.
Because I don't feel like she's a closed book. Yeah. She loves her family from what we've seen. And if he was asking more about her family, I feel like she'd like just wax lyrical about her gran and the rum.
And the toast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was sort of saying to her, like, you need to figure out who you are.
Yeah, what makes you happy? Because if you don't know, how am I meant to know? And it's like, what the hell are you going on about?
That's quite a leap, wasn't it?
Which in a way is similar to Brad and Shona, because it's almost like the girl is sat there and the guy is being like, you're not good enough, you don't know who you are, come back to me when you're really mature, you know yourself. And it's like, bloody hell, chill out.
Had a child.
You're like, none of you are perfect people. You need to be asking the right questions to bring someone's personality out.
Quite enjoyed the whole Thomas and Roz discussion. That was nice. That was an adult conversation. You can tell they're quite careful about what they say and they think about what they say, which maybe more of them should do. It's handy when you've got a PCB sat there as well to guide you through it.
In his jumper.
Oh, his beautiful jumper. I feel a bit like when they're on screen, we're actually seeing a different show. I don't feel like I can picture them out and about with the other couples in the same way.
Well, they weren't at the post-drinks night.
The slagging off.
No, they weren't.
The slagging off session. Yeah. I feel like when we see them in their own sort of show. Mm-hmm. And the show is quite genuine and quite soft. And it's like a lot about caring about what the other person feels. Everyone else is sort of laying into each other. I don't know. It just feels like a slightly different vibe. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like old maths.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It was nice at the end of that as well.
It's nostalgic.
At the end of that as well, where they... Paul had left. They were sat on the settee, just sort of reiterating what they'd already said. I'm sorry I made you feel this way. Mm. I'm sorry I made you feel that way. But they were smiley and stuff. And Claire was watching it going, hug, now hug, hug.
And then they did. Like,
oh my goodness.
Thank goodness for that.
But do you think, though, it's going to lead to something romantic? I still don't know if we'll get there.
The thing I find really strange with any couple, so say for Roz, when she's saying, I really want this, she's admitted she doesn't fancy him, and then she's saying, but I really want this to work. And I can't almost get my head around that feeling of like looking at someone you've been paired with, not fancying them, but still picturing a relationship with them.
Yeah.
Like I can't make that jump. I think I'd have to feel some sort of attraction to someone for to want it to work.
Yeah.
And is there anything residual there or even blossoming there with her where she can see that she could possibly fancy him?
Mm.
Or is it just brother and sister? Like, what is the leap that you're going to make to go from nothing to everything? But bless her for wanting and trying. I'm just not sure I would have that energy to be bothered.
Yeah. It's kind of a foundational thing, isn't it? You have to fancy them.
Or even if you don't fancy them, believe that you could, or feel like it could grow. Like maybe you're really attracted to their humour, or you're really attracted to their passion for something. You don't necessarily fancy their looks, but then that could grow. You maybe need one or the other. Mm. Like their personality is super attractive, or their looks are super attractive. And it's like you think the other one could grow, but if you don't have either, like what are you building on?
Yeah. Or do they have that, but we just haven't seen enough of it yet? Possibly. Because like you said last time, we haven't seen them do anything, really.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first time. Time I've really seen them smile, so I'm hoping as things progress now... That
Johnny was screaming at the TV, have fun together, do... But almost with every couple, he was like, I haven't seen Nathaniel and Ella go out and have... Like, you want to see all these couples do something active, fun...
Yes.
With the Aussie ones, does it come later? But they always seem to be out on a boat. Like sailing around the Sydney Harbour. Like, that is fun. Get them down to Portsmouth.
Another expert intervention, Mel, knocking on Terence and Portia's doors.
In her beautiful pink suit.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, she's a looker.
Had a little therapy session where Terence had to apologise and Portia didn't, which I thought was a bit... I had a discussion this week. Someone wrote a tweet saying, do you get frustrated the way that I do that the experts don't sort of call people out for their behaviour? And I said, well, that's not really their role. We as viewers want them to tell off, in this case, Portia.
Mm.
But their role is to help these relationships blossom. And just go in there saying, Portia, you have been childish, you've been a dick. Isn't gonna do that.
That is not a therapeutic intervention.
No. It would be really good TV. It'd be so vindicating and satisfying. I guess I was a bit disappointed because it needed to be an apology from both sides.
Yes.
And it needed to show Portia that it's give and take and it's compromise. And we've talked before about she's only available between post office hours and it's her way or the highway and she wants immediate apologies and stuff. And I really wanted Mel to say, right, now that he's apologised to you, is there anything you think he deserves an apology for?
Yes.
And help her just to sort of see that. Mm. But then whether it was edited that way or whether Mel just took Portia's side, it was slightly frustrating because Terence, we don't want Terence to think that he's just a big baddie in this.
Yeah.
It was more like miscommunication.
I tweeted that. I wish he hadn't have apologised. I know in the moment it's hard not to when you know it's sort of what you're meant to do. But she was being childish.
I know, but Mel's asking him and Mel is like the hired expert who's come in. So if you're being asked by someone in like a position of power to do something and you think, well, they're the relationship expert.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I can't criticise Portia for being like, oh, I expect an immediate apology. Well, maybe you should listen to Mel. And then say, Terence shouldn't listen to Mel.
I know.
They both got to listen to the advice. Yeah.
But we needed Mel to be a bit more fair. I love Mel. I don't want to slag Mel off. but Terence deserved an apology as well.
Yeah.
Because Portia stormed off and she sort of, she didn't let him talk to her at the table.
But I think, I mean, the thing, she did try to explain this sort of cycle that they were in, didn't she, Mel?
Mm-hmm.
And then Portia was sort of like, well, yes and no. So she kind of agreed with it, but she didn't with it either. So I think probably for Mel, then she has to choose what she does next that's going to be most helpful for them as a couple.
Mm.
And maybe she thought in her kind of weighing up, you know, taking into account what she wanted to achieve with that conversation, actually it's probably not worth challenging Portia on this right now because what is that going to cause perhaps? She's kind of tried to open up the door with that, explaining the cycle, and then she got a yes and no. So she knows there's still some resistance there.
Mm.
She knows there's still a barrier there. So then she has to think, well, what's going to be most helpful for this couple in this limited time that I've got right now? And maybe she felt Terence apologising would be enough.
Mm-hmm.
Give them both something to work on that week, which she did. I can't remember what it was now, but she sort of said, you need to work on this together this week and then go from there. Whereas really, just making somebody apologise, it doesn't... You know, it's sort of like if you try to get a child to apologise. Well, what have they learned from that? You know, it's just words, really.
And
so
I think
she felt it wasn't actually worth that in that moment for them as a couple for the week.
And the lowest hanging fruit was an apology from Terence, move on. But actually, didn't feel very fair.
To be fair to him, it seemed sincere.
It did.
Which mine wouldn't have been.
No.
But I do think it's
her acceptance of the apology wasn't sincere. She was like, I accept your apology. Do you?
But no, I do think if somebody calls you childish, it is hurtful. But whether you're being it or not, it's hurtful.
It's hurtful, but she was childish, and then she compounded it by storming off, so it was almost like, what do you want to go? I know.
Yeah.
Can we talk about a happy couple?
Go on.
Because Paul and Tasha...
Oh, yes.
Really impressing me. This is going to sound condescending just because they're a little bit younger, but I genuinely think they're doing such a good job of listening to each other, working on their own expectations. The letter she wrote about her past, and he just smiled and listened. he's just the sweetest guy. He just had this beautiful, open, happy face listening to her, acknowledging her pain. She sounds like she's been through a really, really shit time with men, and can completely imagine. And she said, I remember the words she used with Paul, we've seen it a couple of times, it's like things happen fast and it was toxic and she felt trapped and all that sort of thing. And Paul is just coming across as the opposite of that, so open and understanding and gentle and slow. Like, it's just gorgeous to watch.
Yeah, he's so warm, isn't he?
And we need that happy moment.
Yeah. We need that light relief.
I actually thought you were going to say Luke and Jay, because they had a nice little chat as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, about what task did they have again? Value? No, they had the questions as well, didn't they? Ask me anything questions. Yeah.
Do you love yourself enough, he said, or do you? And that was an interesting one. He seems quite intuitive. He's asking the questions that... What were you going to say?
I think that's a sitter. Like, you could ask anyone that. And they're going to go, no, you know, I do have self-doubt.
Well,
unless you mean, I'll just cut it out.
But when they're two questions and weren't they both quite... Like, these blokes could have asked anything.
Yeah.
They could have asked anything that was, like, either a bit banal or, like, sexual. They could ask anything they wanted.
Yeah.
And it felt like his were quite, like, gentle and interesting questions. But obviously, again, we don't know what's edited out. But yeah, no, they seem to be doing really well.
Yeah.
There was a slightly, like, catty side of him that was coming out in the not drinks.
Yeah.
Of being like, don't believe them. Mind you, this is us. We're the catty, we're the podcast that's like everyone else. But it was interesting to see that side of him. Doesn't make me like him any less, because I think he's got a good personality and he's willing to speak up.
And Peggy was trying 50 Shades of Shite.
Peggy was laying into them.
Yeah.
I did like that moment with Luke and Jay, where Luke, very sincerely, I thought, told Jay that she was good enough.
Yeah.
That was lovely. That was very nice. So that earned him some points for him to then go into that not drinks party and slap some other people off.
And her answer was great, because it was, she's obviously been working on herself and she should be confident because she's gorgeous, but it was like 2 years ago, if you'd asked me, I would have said something different. But actually, and actually, that's such a nice way to come into a relationship. Everybody in a relationship wants to be with someone who respects and loves themselves, because obviously that's an easier way to start than somebody who like hates themselves. But her answer was really honest, because it was like, I've done a lot of changing over the last couple of years. And I think it was a good answer, because it was honest, but it was positive.
Yeah. And it gave something to him as well about what she'd been through.
Exactly.
I guess they've had these types of conversations before.
I think so. What did she ask him? Did we see that?
I can't remember. I don't know if we saw that.
No, I don't. I can't remember what she asked.
I don't think we saw that.
I don't think they often leave out one side of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the editing.
They show the juiciest bits.
Yeah. I was going to say with the Mel thing before, that it wouldn't surprise me if she did. If we did get an apology, it was just edited out, because the story at the moment is that Portia's awful, isn't she? So it definitely builds on that.
Yeah,
and that'd be the Mel I know and love if she had made them both do it. That would seem more Mel.
I bet she did.
Yeah.
We'll tell ourselves that she did. So we haven't mentioned Laura and Arthur and Peggy and George, who both did the same challenge, which was write down their... Was it called values?
Values.
Yeah.
Because I was like, is money a value? Is looks a value? I was overthinking it. But if we talk about Laura and Arthur first, so they turned round, and I don't think they were totally annoyed with what each other said, but there was a few like mismatches.
Mm. What did he misspell? Intelligence.
Yeah. Oh, bless him. Fair enough. What were the like biting points there for those two?
I think we saw very little of them, didn't we? So we saw that about the intelligence.
She had intelligence second, didn't she? It was really high.
Yeah.
And he had it a little bit lower.
I can't remember what he had at the top, but I think a lot of them they did agree on.
Yeah.
They had a little exchange about one of them, but now I can't remember what that one was.
But the bigger conflict was with Peggy and George. George, I just really enjoy saying his name still. When he'd put sex really high, she'd put it lower.
And he'd underlined it, I think, and put exclamation mark.
Oh my word.
Grown a little pair of boobs.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then she'd put... he'd put children last. And I feel like, so Peggy's 32. I only know this because of the jigsaw. Peggy's 32. I imagine children is on her mind, as she said herself.
She said,
And George is 30, so he's in his 30s as well. for him to put children last, I think she was really disappointed. And she was maybe hiding a little bit of how much so. She said she was disappointed, but you could see that she was really quite gutted because I think she wants to potentially start a family sooner rather than later. And if he's got it at the bottom. But then again, like we've said with Georges, when she brought him up on it, he was willing willing to change his entire life and agree with her to keep the peace. I'm like, you don't have children to keep the peace. That is the opposite of what's going to be peaceful in your life.
Yes.
And it's dangerous that he keeps telling her what she wants to hear because it's not genuine.
Yeah, at some point there's going to be a breaking point when he thinks, hang on, with 5 years in, I've just said yes, yes, yes to everything.
But the other problem is he's not thinking ahead. If he wants to be really cynical and really sneaky, he should have put children higher before he even turned his board around, knowing that she would as well. Like, if he wanted to really trick her. But he's like, the trick is happening too late in the game. And then bless her for saying she's not that bothered about sex. Like, she was very honest. Like, this is on TV, this is going on TV. And she was just, I liked that she stuck by her guns.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem to pander to him in the same way that he panders to her.
No, I don't think so.
She's quite, she has her convictions and she sticks by them, I guess.
Yeah, I think they're gonna go relatively far in this process, but I just think their values are too misaligned. I think George needs to pin down what he actually wants, because I'm not sure he knows.
No, and I guess if you're going into your first serious relationship, kids is the last thing on your mind, potentially, because if you haven't even had a serious girlfriend, you're like, well...
And she's only 30.
Yeah, 30 is relatively young, because there's such a gap, though, when you're a guy in your early 30s and a girl in your early 30s, and it makes me so angry at biology, because it's not fair. But I guess if she wants kids, she's thinking quite seriously about it.
Yeah.
And then they aligned on some other things, didn't they? But... anyway, you could talk all day about that, because imagine doing that with your partner, where it's like, where's money and where's power and what were the other ones, family or job or whatever it was, and it's quite telling, isn't it?
So stay tuned for our interview with Sophie Brown, one of the participants from last year. We're going to be talking about her journey and also what she thinks of all the drama from this year's maths. I'm doing a gig on Thursday, so Claire's going to be doing all the live tweeting.
So. Is that your get-out clause in case they're rubbish? Just warn people ahead of time that it's not you.
They're not going to be a savage.
and then you're not going to be here on Friday. So.
On Friday, no, I'm doing a real wedding. So I'm down south.
Boo.
And boo. But the nice thing is you two will get a word in Edgeways.
And I know you're going to be nothing to say to each other now that we're a married couple. Nothing to say.
Yeah, I worry this might spark some arguments. Just us two being forced to talk to each other. So, as I say, stay tuned for Sophie. But for now, that's me, Omar Abid.
Goodbye from me, Sarah Clark.
Goodbye from me, Claire Limmer Abid.
No, well done, you've passed the test.
Woo.
Oh.
I mean, I was going to say, how's your gyna, but... Oh. Just before we get to our chat with Sophie, if you're in Manchester and you're a fan of stand-up comedy, Kelly Rickard, our friend and former co-host, is doing a show as part of the Women in Comedy Festival. It's called Free as a Bird. It's on at the Fierce Bar on the 10th of October at 8:30. Tickets are just £3. She's very funny. I'm going to share a clip where she talks about why men don't particularly enjoy female comedians, which is very good. I've seen her stand-up. I think you'll enjoy it. So if you're around, 10th of October, Fierce Bar, Free as a Bird. All right, cheers.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and we're joined by the wonderful Sophie Brown from last season of Maths UK. Hi, Sophie.
Hello.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Are you as glued to this season as we are?
Yes, and it's even more exciting because I'm just an onlooker this time. It's a whole new, like, lease of life. The relief, I just sort of sit and take it in.
Less stressful.
Definitely. Well, kind of. It brings it all back. Stressful in a different way.
I know. I always wonder that watching it, having been on the show, you must see it through a completely different lens.
Oh, absolutely. This is the only thing. It's like I'm kind of enjoying it. But then, like, even seeing the same wedding venue as me and stuff, you know, watching them do the dinner parties, it brings back all those emotions.
Do you, have you met any of the current cast?
Yes.
On Tinder?
Well, no. I met some of them. They were out in Manchester for Jay's birthday. So some of them were out together for that. And that was so nice to meet them. I actually, funnily enough, I think I can say this now, but I bumped into some of them ages ago. And they came over to me in Manchester and they were like, "We're the new Maths Brides." Oh, and I was like, what do I do with this information?
NDA.
Nothing.
That's so funny. So they were out having like a little girls' night or something.
Yeah, they were, exactly. But you know, genuinely, because I was feeling a bit rocky about the new season, but meeting them as humans prior actually helped me, I think, because it was just like, right, okay, yeah, you know, it's happening. You know, they're other people like me, you know, and it was just good to meet them, yeah.
Were you feeling rocky because it's like your season gets usurped by the new people? Same with, like, you know, when Love Island comes out, you feel like the previous contestants might feel forgotten or whatever.
I mean, it's a bit of a weird thing because it's like, I guess you do think that because you're like, right, well, what's going to kind of happen now? Because you just, yeah, you're like, they're preceding you. But I think it was more just the emotions of it all. Like, I hadn't watched any of it. I started watching my series again just to sort of prep because I watched it when it came out and then I never touched it since. Like, I never watched it. So I thought, just kind of ease yourself in with watching some of yours and then it all. But I genuinely was pretty excited. Like, I was
That's
so excited.
Exposure therapy.
Yeah.
When they got really, like, watch a little bit every day, like 5 minutes, just like ease yourself back in.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what's happening this week is that the intruders are coming in towards the end of the week. And you and Jonathan were one of the intruder couples, which I think is a weird way of terming calling them. It's like, you know, just another married couple joining the process. But is there extra stress joining a bit later?
Yeah. So I, through the whole process, was really calm. I was in the process for a long time. I was one of the first people found. It was in October. I didn't get married till April. So not only did I wait a really long time, I was also an intruder couple. So I waited even longer. They didn't tell me that. I worked it out from my wedding date. And when I worked it out, because I was at like near the end of April, and they said they were in like the beginning of April, I was like, that was the only time I had a bit of a meltdown on the phone to one of the, like, the production people. Because I said, this is huge for me anyway, let alone going into it at a later stage when everybody's already made friends. I was worried I wouldn't have enough time to build a connection with the person that I was with. And yeah, it was a really weird concept. Like, I would have never preferred to have gone in later. But obviously that was just the journey that I had. But we also couldn't release anything. So I feel like they've been released really early. Like, for me, everybody got released in August. And again, I had to wait like another month, sat on my hands, not being able to say anything. And I was released the night before.
I was wondering about, with being an intruder couple, do you then overthink of like, why have they picked us to come in later? Like, obviously you're gorgeous. Do you think there's a sense of like bringing an attractive couple, try and like shake up the, what do you say? Shake up the chicken coop or whatever the expression is. I don't know what the expression is. Were you thinking that? Were you thinking like, why on earth am I an intruder?
I really questioned it because I thought I must have been found quite early. So then why was I kind of being put in late? But the way that they said it to me was obviously like, it was almost a preference to go in. Obviously, they're going to kind of pitch it like that. But they were saying the honeymoon was like unbelievable and, you know, all this stuff. And I think I just in the end was like, well, I'm in it now. You know, I'm not going to not do it because I'm going in later. That's silly. But it knocked me for six. Like it was a real, I don't know why, but I remember I was really emotional about it. I think it all hit me in that moment. I've been so calm, so collected. And then I kind of got told that news. Well, I didn't get told that news. I worked it out. And then I was just like, oh.
Bless you.
So what was it like walking in for the first dinner party where you're meeting everyone else?
Oh, so nerve-wracking. I was so nervous. Thankfully, Jonathan and I at that stage were in such a great place together that we were literally like hand in hand, ready to go in together, you know, really strong. So at least I had that. I think it would have been atrocious if you weren't comfortable with your partner, because it's super scary. We hadn't seen anyone. Obviously, they do a good job of keeping you away from everyone. But yeah, we hadn't seen anyone. No idea what I was walking into. We could hear them on the other side of the wall and they sounded really loud. And I was like, oh my goodness. And we walked in and thankfully it all just kind of dropped straight away. But it was one of the most nerve-wracking things. Not as bad as the aisle, but
that does sound nerve-wracking.
Yeah, well,
we
think about Portia this year coming to the first one by herself. That must have been horrendous, as much as, you know, she's irritated us.
Yeah, you must be able to really put yourself in people's shoes, having known what it's like.
The first one as well, that's pretty big. Like it must have gone pretty south for you to have to come in on the first one. Like I feel like as well as a couple, you do almost say to each other, you're like hyping each other up, and like whatever arguments you've had, you kind of make a bit of an agreement to go into the dinner party as one, because they can be so savage and like the carnage that breaks loose. If you haven't got each other's back, it can just derail so easily. So I think that you almost, you know, if you can be, say to each other, same as commitment ceremonies, because you got to have like that level of respect for one another. But I think coming in alone just sets a precedent of like, I don't know, just not that.
Oh my gosh. I've been curious watching it now for you, whether you A, feel you were fairly edited, and B, whether you watch people in a slightly different way, thinking, is that who they really are? Have they been edited unfairly, or, you know, too positively? Because obviously they need the different characters. So what's your perspective on how you were edited and how other people are potentially being edited?
Yeah, I suppose for myself, because I hate to be like, it's tricky, because I feel like you sound like you're just moaning when you're like, oh, the edit, but it does get people, and they do kind of play out stories and characters for you, which, because I'd never done TV before, I was so unaware of, like blissfully unaware.
Yeah.
You know, I just went into it thinking that all sort of facets of my personality would be shown. But I think I talk about this. The wedding episode was really difficult because it just wasn't. It was the most beautiful day. And we honestly kicked it off with an incredible connection. The families got on incredibly well. And when I watched it back, I was just completely blindsided. And again, I watched it back since. That's when I watched back, and I prepared myself for the worst. And it wasn't as bad as I remember it. But obviously, when it happened, I had all my friends and family. I was so nervous. I just thought, I was so embarrassed. I didn't want to go to work. I was like, this is just the worst thing ever.
Well, I remember, because I was doing the live tweeting, obviously, and I remember that your narrative that for that first wedding thing was kind of like, basically, that you and your family were really posh, and Jonathan's this like honest, down-to-earth, salt of the earth type. And your brother got stitched up, I think.
My brother, poor thing, because he's so wacky and wonderful. Like, my brother is up for anything. Like, it annoyed me, I think, because I knew as soon as the narration came on and it went a clash of classes, and I thought, what have they done here? Because there was none of that on the day, especially for my family. God, that wouldn't even cross our minds. Like, you know, I think just because people are well-spoken, it's a bit like kind of put you in this bracket. But yeah, my poor brother, he literally like chewed the inside of his mouth, that he does all the time. And they used that as the reaction for Jonathan walking down the aisle. So I feel like he got, you know, my dad got absolutely slaughtered. I mean, he doesn't care. But this is the thing. A lot of the things that were said about me were like what other people, like my dad, had said and stuff, which was even harder because people were being horrible about him.
Yeah.
And then they were kind of like putting it on me. And I was like, well, just take me for me, you know, and what I've kind of said. But yeah, I look at it in a completely different way. Like when I see the weddings, because I know what mine was like, I definitely gave people this year like the benefit of the doubt, just because you have the first episode and that's kind of like, oh, you know, who are you going to like, who you're not going to like. And there's a bit of a storyline. But then once you actually get into it, I think you actually get to know people. And I kind of have given them this like that chance this year, I think.
I thought you might say that because it is set up a bit pantomimey, isn't it, in the first episodes of like Clash of the Classes or Clash of the Families or...
Yeah.
I try and take the sort of the viewer's side of like, that's part why I enjoy it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I had a go at your brother. I called him out for his drinking from his hedgehog mug.
It is funny, and it's funny now. And I think, do you know what it was? I could laugh at stuff about myself, but it was when it was about my family, I found it difficult, but they didn't care. God, my brother thought it was hilarious. My dad thought it was hilarious. You know, it was only me because I took it so personally. I think I just wasn't, you know, I'd had no experience in reality TV. Like I said, I came into it so naively that I think I was just like, whoa.
Well, I think we've mentioned the edit. I think the reality is there's, I'm sure they skew little things like that, but you came across over the whole series really well, I thought. So, yeah, fair enough, the first episode, you get this stupid thing of like, oh, they're a bit posh and you have some cheap jokes at that. But then you can't keep that. If you're not really like that, it's going to come through what you're really like, you know.
Yeah, well, this is why, like, you end up, I think, you do get to know people more because... People say, I still, like, people now still recognize me and they're like, oh, it must be so weird because, you know, we feel like we know so much about you. And obviously there's so many parts of my life that people know nothing about. And like, I'd say there's a whole part of my personality, which is a lot more fun that people didn't really get to see because obviously we had quite a tricky journey. But then people do know you quite well. It's a lot of time. It's like weeks of filming and episodes, you know, it's like 30 episodes or whatever. So you do get to know people. I think ultimately overall it shows people's personality.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. This is a bit of a tangent, but somebody sent me a question they wanted you to ask, and it was about taking time off. Sorry, it's not a very exciting one. It's not a very sexy question, but it was about how do people actually manage to have all that time off work? Like, you were employed at the time, but I think you were pretty high up, weren't you, in your company?
Yeah, so this is the thing. I was in a great place in my career. Like, I'd really built myself up and I was doing well, and I didn't want to lose all of that for, you know, a television show, because I was doing it ultimately genuinely to find someone. So I thought, I don't want this all to go wrong and me to lose everything I've worked hard for, because it's just not what I'm about. But basically I spoke to my work and they offered me sabbatical. So I got unpaid leave for the duration of the show. So I came back into my job when I came back, which was incredible. It was hard because I'd had a lot of time off and it was quite a high responsibility job. But I did that all the way until like April this year. So I was working all through the show airing and everything. So wow. It was a lot to juggle, but I know some people have to quit their jobs. Like, I was
That's
lucky
what I was
in that
wondering.
Sense. Yeah, some people have to.
So you work in the tech sector, don't you?
Yes, well, I did. Yeah. Woman in tech. No, I was working. Yeah. So I was working in technology for like, eight, 9 years. And then I've been working freelance for like different companies. And then obviously a bit of like presenting and social media stuff since then, like since April.
Oh,
so how much do you wish? I mean, I know the answer to this because your message doesn't told us that. How much do you wish you'd have been matched with Duncan from Maths Australia?
Oh, my God. Do you know, I've kind of changed my opinion now. I think I unfollowed him the other day, but that wasn't because I don't like him. I think he potentially got a really nice edit. I don't know.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I feel like, not that, I think he's great. I think he's a very attractive guy. When I first saw him, and I think it said like he worked in tech and stuff, I was like, there's my man. But I think I just watched it and I was like, you know, because I'm huge on personality and that has to kind of like, yeah, get me. But yeah, I'm over Duncan.
You're saying he's dull, which I think is fair.
Is there anybody on the current UK series that you would have happily been paired with?
They're a real mix, you know.
Yeah.
Who do I like? I don't know. There's a couple that I do think are attractive. And like, I think, what's his name?
I've got Arthur.
Yeah, he's sweet.
Arthur. We've got Nathaniel, Thomas, Paul, George, Brad and Terence.
I like Thomas because I think he's from near Bristol.
Thomas because he's from near Bristol. Is it just convenient?
No, like from a similar place to me. You know, when like, I don't know, people just get you a bit more, I feel like, if they're from like a
Thomas,
similar place. But
I don't feel like Thomas has been having a fair edit because we know almost nothing about his personality.
Yeah.
I want to see him come out of his shell a bit because it doesn't feel like he feels like a really sweet, nice, interesting guy, but yeah. he seems like he's being presented as a bit of a cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
Who are your favourite couples so far?
I really like them. I do like Ros and Thomas because I think you're right. I hope to see more of their personalities. Like, I just feel like they're not, because they're having a lot of struggles with just seeing that. But I like that they're being so like open about it. But I want to see more from them. I really like them. Who else do I like? We've seen like couples completely change recently. Like Brad and Shona have just gone down the absolute pan.
So furious watching the TV last night with it was ridiculous what he was saying.
Yeah, it was so harsh. I just feel like if you do like love someone, which is what he was saying to her and everything, to do that honesty box thing and just go, right, well, I've got a list of 10 things that I don't like about you. This. Yeah. For you to be able to go to that so like quickly and so, you know, like, oh, you forgot your, you know, you're a bit stressful at the airport and you forgot your passport and, you know, because you don't have a child, you don't have the responsibilities. I was like, whoa, it feels like you've been sat on this and this was your chance just to go.
Exactly how it felt. Like he was just waiting for the opportunity to be allowed to say it all and he'd made this long list, 10 things I hate about you.
And then two minutes before they were like, before they went in rooms, just a wall apart, they were like, love you, love you. It's like, did you really need to do that? You're going to be apart for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was worried about them at the beginning just because it was like, okay, they obviously really fancy each other. But like, is there, I really like Shona. I think she wears a heart on her sleeve. And I think she really invests at the beginning. I'm similar to that. I just go all in at the start. But unfortunately, that means that like the other person can kind of like go along with it, which I think he's done a bit. And then he's now been a bit like, I just think whatever he said about their intimate stuff, though, is I'm not about that.
Yeah. Well, I actually thought last night, knowing that we'd be talking to you, that I did think there was a similarity with you and Jonathan, where it was, I remember it going really well on the honeymoon and everything. And that picture that I used in your dressing gown, was it on the honeymoon, maybe? It was just like, it suddenly seemed to turn where it was like, he's not so sure anymore. I was like, why? How's that happened?
That was, it's funny actually, because I do see similarities. You're right. I think that at the beginning it was amazing. The retreat was the big turning point for us. And it was obviously post the conversation, the horse legs chat. But the thing was that conversation was really hard. There was a lot more obviously that was said that wasn't shown. But when we were sat getting ready, it's like he just completely flipped and was like, well, you know, I'm not really getting what I need from you. Don't really fancy you. About like the intimacy and things like that. And I was literally sat there and I was like, this has just hit me like a ton of bricks, you know? Yeah, okay, we've had a couple of tiffs or whatever and there's this whole conversation, but it was like frustrating as well, because it was like, I'm feeling upset about what's happened and now you're putting even more on me to be like, well, this is how I feel. And you know, and it was just a lot to take.
That must have been devastating. And especially because I imagine you're trying to manage how you come across on TV and not seem too needy and not seem too emotional. There's a lot on women sometimes to be like level-headed because we're accused of being too emotional or too this or too that. So were you aware in your reactions of like, I'm being filmed, or did you completely forget the cameras were there and you were just being completely raw?
I think, to be fair, just generally as a person, because of things like my career and things, and I knew I was going back to my job and things, I didn't want to do anything that was too, you know, going to damage myself too much. But equally, I think even though you're not filmed 24/7, when the cameras come in, yeah, okay, they set them all up, blah, blah, blah. But they're there for a long time. Like that conversation we had, and I genuinely feel like with him and I especially, we were very honest and similar on and off camera. We'd have those conversations. So like that conversation, for example, yeah, that just like snowballed. And that was how we would have chatted if they were in the room or not. So yeah. You ended up just having, and things like dinner parties, they're all around that, like the circumference of the room. So you do forget that like, they're like in the shadows around the outside. So you kind of forget. But I think it would be, I think there's probably couples that are very much like, not as real in front of the cameras, but I think for a lot of people you can still be very much yourself.
That's interesting, because people say about forgetting the cameras are there, and I can't imagine getting to that point, but it must take a little while. And gosh, so the big question, are you and Jonathan still in touch in any way as friends, or is it completely
no,
that's fair enough. That is, yeah, wouldn't that be my decision if somebody spoke about me like that on TV? I think you're better off.
Yeah, I think it was really tough to watch it back. And I feel like I'd always post really lovely things, because at that point we were all good. We weren't together romantically, but we were friends. We were kind of there for each other and things. And when it came out on TV, I'd turn comments off on my videos so he wouldn't get hate. I'd post, you know, really cute pictures and tag him and stuff like that. And I just didn't get that reciprocated at all. You know, he's not really a social media person, fine. But I was trying to almost, you know, alleviate some of the kind of, I was being like, look, you know, I'm fine with him and posting this stuff and all of that just to try and make it a bit better. But yeah, he's not bothered about any of that. And I think there was some stuff that happened in the press afterwards, which just kind of solidified, I don't know how he felt. And I just was like, right, well, I'm not, you know, yeah.
That's so lovely of you though, to try and protect him from that sort of trolling. Overall, do you feel positive about the experience? Are you glad you applied? Are you glad you went on? Or is there a sense of regret?
There's no sense of regret. I think that it would be so hard to live with regret because you would just question everything. And I did do that, I guess, before, but not, I'm pleased that I did it. I mean, it's led to some being able to do some, you know, incredible things. And I truly appreciate that. And I think that, yeah, I did it for the reason of finding someone. I didn't find someone. That's, you know, that's all right. It's not meant to be, but it's a once in a lifetime experience. God, I think you never imagine you actually are going to get chosen.
To be fair, it sounds like you did find some people. It seems like you're very friendly with Adrian and Shanita. So, you know, made some good friends out of it, it looks like.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think that you build these connections with people, and you're not going to get on with everyone. I mean, when are you ever going to get on with the other 30 people in a room? But to go through such an experience like this, like, you need each other. I think that's why it's been quite nice that the new cast actually are here, because I didn't really speak to any of the previous cast, and I had a bit of, I didn't have beef with them, but they had beef with me. So I just sort of left it, and I was just friends with, you know, my castmates. And like, now it's quite nice this year, because it's kind of like, okay, there's a whole kind of cohort of people that have been through it as well. And it would be nice to build more connections, because, you know, not everyone understands it in the same way we do.
I tuned out for the second half of that, because I'm just wondering, what's the beef?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, well, Amy got with Jonathan, and that was all over the press and the paps and stuff. And that was hard, just because I kind of saw it coming, and I just was a bit like, I don't know. And then I got accused of fat shaming by her, which was absolutely not what happened.
Oh, my word.
Well,
yeah.
You mentioned it earlier. I'll start with, how sick of you talking about how horse legs?
I've not actually been asked for a while, you know, so it's quite fresh right now.
As a woman, I was absolutely screaming at the TV. It was so painful to watch, and it was so upsetting, because you are an absolute goddess. And I'm like, if a goddess like that is being pulled apart on TV, what are us mere mortals, what chance do we have? And we were all on your side. It was horrible. But I think you don't want to be used as an experiment. You don't want to be used as an example, but it was an important conversation, I think, for people to see happening on TV, because everybody was on your side. And it's sometimes quite interesting to watch on maths, these bigger things be debated, like, you know, the gaslighting and the controlling behavior and the toxic language. And it's interesting the things people are seeing on these reality TV shows and are being discussed in the open. This language didn't exist when we were, well, you're a lot younger than me, Sophie, but growing up, I'd never heard of gaslighting. I'd never heard of toxic
masculinity.
The toxic masculinity and all these things, and like financial abuse and emotional abuse and all those things. And it's horrible because it's your life and you don't want your life to be held up as an example. But it led to a lot of interesting debates, I think, about his language and his behavior.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think the thing with maths is, so a lot of it is very raw and very, very real. You follow relationships for the good and the bad. And also you see people for the good and the bad. I mean, you know, not everybody is, well, no one's perfect. And you see these times where, like, it's like, yeah, gaslighting and the toxic masculinity, or like the things that happened to me. And like, yeah, it's rubbish being on the receiving end of it. However, it sparked a conversation, like, especially around the body image stuff and things like that. Like, it allowed me, as much as I really didn't want to, I never thought that would be my narrative and my story, which did suck, but it allowed me to talk about that, you know, on a platform that I now have. And I do get comments. I had like comment from a mum recently, and she was like, you know, my 13-year-old, to follow someone like you on Instagram is so much, you know, better, and you talk openly about things. And it's just like, yeah, we need people like that. As rubbish as it is being on and the receiving end of it, it does educate people and kind of help. So at least there's that.
Yeah, you're taking one for the team.
Yeah.
I was thinking about you in relation to Ella, actually, is that just by virtue of her being trans, whether she likes it or not, the trans debate, I certainly see like some awful stuff online about Ella. Mm. And you, because of stuff that you didn't even bring it up, something that Jonathan said, now you're the center of this whole debate about body image. It's like, I would, if I went on there and somehow it ended up being all about my ethnicity, I'd fucking hate it. It's just like, I'm not there for that. It's like a tiny part of who I am, you know?
Yeah. I think that's what's most like upsetting about it now is like, if I Google myself, every article is about being fat shamed or, and that's
ridiculous. That sucks. Tiny as well. Like it's so disproportionate. It's just maddening. It's absolutely maddening. And like you say, yeah, sorry, I interrupted because it's just so, it makes me so angry.
Yeah, it is what it is. I know it's rubbish, but it's like, it is what it is. But thankfully, like, you know, when I meet people and stuff like that, I mean, you know, we have really nice chats about it and yeah.
And actually, I feel like I need to say as well, like, doesn't matter if you're tiny or not, like, even if somebody is big and beautiful, like just to, for their body image to be put under the microscope, it's just horrible. But I guess, like we said, it's an important conversation. Anyway, moving on. So are you enjoying this series and who do you have hopes for potentially lasting the distance?
So, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Like I said, just being an onlooker is completely different. Like, I'm excited for the dinner party tonight. Like, I do feel like a proper viewer. I think, Tasha and Paul, I think that they're, like, they've just got such a good foundation. And I think that the way they've been so open with each other, like, I think that they have built a really great foundation that's like on trust and actually like, you know, knowing a lot about each other. And now they just have fun together. Like, they just seem like they have a laugh and get on really well. Obviously, Jay and Luke, I really like them as well. Mm-hmm. I hope that they can. I'm not sure, like, super longevity, but I think that they're getting on really well and I hope that they do the distance. Arthur and Laura, I'm very intrigued, to be honest, because I feel like, again, given like the storylines and characters or whatever, at the beginning we were like, no way. And now I'm like,
ooh. Well, yeah, I was going to say that before about how quickly the narrative around Laura has changed, because again, in the same way I piled on you and your family, I did the same with Laura on day one. But she seems great. I really like her. What do you think of George's requirements for women?
Oh my gosh. Do you know, it's funny because I, again, like the whole not judging people, I know his wedding episode. I mean, some of the stuff he said is just like, and the amount of times he said it, I was a bit like, okay, there's an edit, but there's also, you know, if you say it that many times, you probably did mean it. But I kind of held out hope because I was a bit like, I feel like he's going to be this massive character and there's all this bravado and stuff. But I thought he's just going to be quite like weird and wacky and actually quite fun. I'm really unsure about them now. Like, I feel like the whole OnlyFans conversation was a bit, I don't know, that became like a huge thing, but I was just like, I was kind of on like his side with that. Well, not sides, but like, I just was a bit like, I don't know, the way it was spoken about, I think he was sort of like supporting anything she'd do, but then.
Well, it seemed like it came out of nowhere. I was going to ask, do you think, have producers come to you and said, that conversation you had off camera, can you just bring that up? And it's very unnatural, you know, but I think I suspect that's what happened there. Is that close?
Yeah, so none of it's scripted. It really isn't. But there will be sometimes a little voice in your ear or like, yeah, because obviously you don't get to see so much of it. And if something quite big happens, then it does get spoken about, you know, like the hot tub thing last year with April and George. And like, they have to bring that to light. Like, there's certain things that you have to then talk about. But I feel like, yeah, I think it was unfortunate that their honeymoon was made about that, because I reckon they had a really good time overall. And then obviously they kind of honed in on that one argument. But I don't know. I'm just not sure about them. Like, I don't know.
A few funny ones, aren't there? There's a few that feel like mismatches. And we're being almost quite surprised by how well they're getting on. So we're like, right, I'm just going to park all my judgment. Well, I can't park my judgment, but I'm just going to see what happens, because I feel shocked how well Arthur and Laura are getting on, how well George and Peggy are getting on. Mm-hmm. And then is there hope for Ros and Thomas? It's just, this is why we get hooked to this show, because you cannot always predict what's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, actually, when you mentioned looking forward to the dinner parties, it's reminded me, and the retreat especially, what was that like being in the in the tent with the marquee with Whitney and Matt, all that coming out?
That was honestly that was the craziest moment of the whole show. I mean, so much of it didn't make it, but all the good bits did. Like, it did it. Well, I mean, it was wild to watch anyway. But actually being there was craziness, because everybody was, even Duca was giving it a go, and like they were all going at each other. Obviously Thomas just was like brought the drama every single time, but the fact that that huge thing came out, and we all, everybody knew to different degrees, but obviously like you had, we were like sort of waiting for Matt to like, you know, drop the bombshell, and the way Kwame sort of introduced it and stuff, it was like, oh my god, this is like this is gonna
crash, wasn't it?
It was. And we were all, bearing in mind as well, like we're all, it started off so nice, that retreat. We all got there and we were all singing songs. Like we had a speaker and we were like sat around singing songs. And then by the end, it was just carnage. And we were all living in the same, like these same buildings and stuff. So it was blooming intense. So we had to walk away from the dinner party and like all sort of go back to our rooms and back to our, it was just, it was so awkward, honestly.
God, apart from Whitney and Matt, where he gave her the growly kiss on the bridge.
No, don't, because that was a bit much. I mean, them two, I mean, I was there and their connection was quite real in the way of, I don't know if it was just lust, like they did really fancy each other.
Are they still together?
No.
Oh no, forgive my
ignorance. No, he was with my release from the previous series after.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now they're not together.
Oh well, they split up now. Yeah. Right.
I think he's got a new girlfriend now.
Sorry, I don't know. Forgetting how it ended. This is the thing we've talked about before with maths. Like you're so invested, and then one series finishes, you're like, you can't even remember who was who.
Yeah.
Apart from Omar, who has an encyclopedic knowledge of like every single person.
Well, I've got your name written down here just off screen. So
I'd forgotten that they. Yeah. Okay. So that imploded, didn't it? Of course it did.
I mean, the thing with Matt though is as well. I don't want you to say, and I know you won't say anything that you don't want to say, but I've heard, especially that final dinner party, which interestingly was shown before the watershed, they cut out a lot of stuff. I think he got a very favourable edit from what I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked to see that obviously my bit was the main bit about I'm glad it was in there, because it kind of gave me a chance to like clap back at someone, and I'm glad it made it. But I thought that, I don't know, there was a lot more that happened. And I think the watershed thing was a bit of a, I think they were trying to, I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot that they didn't show. There was also a lot that happened when a camera wasn't there, which again, obviously they can't use that, but it was, it was carnage. And I think people showed them their true selves a lot. But yeah.
Yeah, it felt like a handy excuse for E4 that, well, we can't show it at 9 o'clock because New Maid in Chelsea is starting. It's like, well, you knew when it was starting, and you've shown this other program for the last 2 months at 9 o'clock, and it's the climax of it. Like,
yeah, the final, exactly. We were all pretty gutted, I think. Like, we were all genuinely quite gutted that it didn't sort of get shown exactly how it was, just because there was a lot that happened. But, you know, maybe it was for the best. I don't know.
So one other question I had is, you know, there's been a lot in the news. I mean, very, very sadly, since the Caroline Flack situation that happened and all the debate around Love Island and maths. Did you receive aftercare after the show? Was it adequate? And do you feel looked after? What was that process like?
Yeah, so duration of the show, you've obviously got welfare and they are there 24/7. So they do it in shifts almost. Like we had people in the building that were literally there staying with us as well. But then afterwards, we had calls, I think, every week or however much. It was very consistent, maybe even more than that. And then when the show came out, that's when we had it, like it turned up a notch again. So we'd have like a brief every morning of what was going to happen. Now, I'm not sure whether it was best to get told what was going to happen or whether it would have just been best to like sort of just watch it. But I think it was just them preparing us. And there was like, so for example, when the horse legs conversation did happen, she couldn't show me it, but she read it out to me like word for word, what was going to happen, just so I was aware. So I think they just try and like almost just let you know what to expect. And also there's times where like, I think they would tell people maybe just don't watch it tonight or don't go on, you know, social media and stuff like that. But we I would say like, I still had great contact with welfare and we had access to like a psychologist. They don't actively give that to you. You know, you don't have like booked in sessions, but if you want that, you can ask. And I did actually ask further on, it was like months after when all the stuff came out in the news about like I was fat shaming Amy and all of this. I was so upset about it. Like, it was awful. And I requested like additional help then. And they said that was fine and everything. So you can do that. It does get less and less and less. And you kind of have to get used to that. Like, you're so used to having someone to be able to speak to. And then it's kind of like, you know, it's every 2 weeks, then it's every month. And then it's, you know, and it just sort of drops out, but you have access if you do need that.
That's gratifying to hear, I guess, that it exists at all.
Yeah.
Everyone that I've spoken to has said that. But again, it's just something that comes up online of like, you know, how do they let these people on the show? Not with reference to you, but, you know, that some people seem like they have psychological issues, you know, or serious trauma that maybe they shouldn't be allowed to go through the process. But everything I've heard is that the diligence is so high to check on people's mental well-being.
Yeah, I guess they're already in it at that point. I suppose the process itself to actually get on the show, I mean, it's incredibly vigorous, and they do ask a lot of questions. But I guess there's certain people, you know, you can sit there and almost put on a bit of a front as to what you want to tell them and what you don't. So there is that, you know, people might not be fully open and honest about themselves and you know, that kind of thing. So that then on the show, it kind of comes out in a lot more. Yeah. I don't know. But we do definitely get the support there. But it's no one can prepare you. I mean, no one can. Like, and they can't like feel the emotions that you're feeling. So no matter how much support you get, it still can not be enough for some people.
How did you find the commitment ceremonies? Because from what I've heard speaking to other participants, it's a draining day. I remember actually Jonathan and Mel having it was awkward. I mean, it was great to watch.
It was so, oh my gosh. The commitment ceremonies are the worst because they are the longest. It's like call time, you know, 8 a.m. to be fully ready. And then it is so many hours. Like the good thing is you get much longer on the couch than you see on television. So you do get a good amount of time with the experts, which is good because you can talk about loads of different things. And then, you know, you wait for every single couple and you sit there and it is really, really hard. Like I found those days incredibly difficult, but yeah, I mean, it's funny because it depends what they show and stuff, but yeah, I mean, that one where there was the run-in with Mel and that was post-retreat, post all those sort of gym conversations and stuff, that was horrendous. Like watching it back, it didn't really feel as bad, but like, It was really, really intense. And I mean, he was like, he was fuming with me and just with the whole situation and everything.
I guess when you see other contestants on the sofas heckle or get upset, you can understand when people have been sat there for like 6 hours and having to bite their tongue.
And the rest, yeah, honestly. And if you're like last or first, you literally sat there and yeah. And they're quite like, even going to the loo, they're like, sit down. And it's like, obviously they let you go to the toilet, like, but there's breaks. Like they don't want people getting up and moving about because it does just like, it does take a lot longer. And you think if every couple's got like an hour or up to.
Wow.
Wow. That is a lot.
This is really interesting behind the scenes.
Well, again, I just said actually on the little bit we've recorded, for the first part of this episode, that people often think that the expert's role is to sort of call people out and just tell people off, you know, but in your case, tell Jonathan off for saying stuff that he shouldn't have said. But that doesn't really help build the relationship if they're just doing that. So an hour of like counseling, I guess, is a lot. It's more than people would think.
It's very intense. And I will say that like on that day, it was incredibly hard, like for Jonathan, because it was so intense. And it wasn't even just coming from the experts. It was coming from, you know, the participants as well, because everybody, you know, they want to be able to like give their opinion. I'd say, I mean, to be fair, like even Paul and I had a couple of run-ins. I don't think they really showed it, but like, you know, where he properly sort of questions you and like, it can be really difficult. But I think overall, they call out on the things that I think when they feel like someone needs to be actually kind of like have a little bit of consequences and be called out like in front of the group, they do that. But overall, I think that they want to kind of obviously help you. But I think sometimes you have to get all that stuff out first. And then like, to be honest, you probably see all the stuff where it's like, get all of that stuff out. And then when we're sat there for the other half, it's kind of like more, you know, relaxed and helping us and what can we do next week and that kind of thing. So we do get a lot of that, but you probably, you know, don't see as much because it's not as dramatic.
I feel like I would watch the unedited stuff sometimes. You know, when it was like early Big Brother and you could watch 24 hours of people sleeping. I feel like sometimes with maths, when I'm really invested, I was like, I would watch unedited 7 hours of this just to know exactly what's been said, who's been pulled up for their bad behaviour.
That's reminded me what I was going to say earlier. So on last night's episode, we saw that Shona and Brad didn't actually have a falling out about the honesty box questions. It was about a drinks party where he'd been saying, talking shit about her. So how much of that goes on where it's not being filmed and you're all just hanging out and everyone's having a few drinks and stuff? Because that's where I bet things really kind of kick off or can be instigated.
It absolutely is. And I remember thinking after last season, surely they're not going to let these people socialize out of hours. Like, you don't go out anywhere. God, you're not allowed. But obviously you all live in the same building and you do go and see each other. And especially after long filming days, you'll go and have a drink together. I just felt like I was a bit on the outskirts of stuff. I wasn't really involved in these parties and stuff, but I know that they did go on. To be fair, at the beginning of when everyone gets on as well, I obviously went in a bit later, but they were all getting on and they were all having little things together. But then towards like the end, obviously we saw splits in the group. So it was like smaller groups hanging out. But after the whole sort of like the big April Thomas Shanita argument that went on in the toilet at a party that no one, you know, no one even got to see, and that carried on, you know, I wasn't even there for that, and I was like, what the heck happens here, you know?
You want the tapes when something like that happens as the public, you're like, show us the tapes, we need.
I know, and I can imagine how frustrating it is because you don't get to see it, but obviously there are things that are going to happen. But yeah, you do socialize, and I think that we had like get togethers and stuff, and obviously there's alcohol and things, and people are being very honest and people fall out and stuff. But yeah, I thought they might just put a bit of a ban on it, to be honest, just because a lot of stuff happens. But you know, you can't really, I mean, you can't, you know, contain people that much. You do have to let them have a bit of a life. It's not like prison.
Have no social life apart from with your prospective partner.
Yeah.
You say there were splits in the group. I mean, that final dinner party, it was two groups. And I think I remember when we spoke to Adrian last year, he was saying, Sophie was sat with them, but she should have been on with us.
I was, do you know, honestly, like I found this is the thing. And I think why it's hard for me, because my experience was incredible and it was once in a lifetime. And like, I'm so grateful for my friends now, but it was such a shame. So I wasn't friends with who I kind of would have been mates with on the show, just because I was there for my husband. I was there, you know, and he got on with those people. And I was like, right, well, this is my group really now. I can't, you know, I'm not going to leave him. But yeah, it was so awkward. I mean, you cut the tension with a knife, but it was literally half and half, and I was like, no, I'm not on this side.
Yeah, do you, I mean, because you went to final vows, you and Jonathan. So at that point you were still invested then?
Yeah, honestly, 100%. I think we'd spent a bit of time apart, and that does make you miss them. God, you've slept next to them for a long time, and it's crazy. And then you go home and you kind of think about it and stuff. And then you write your vows. You have to write your vows quite early as well. So, you know, obviously you can change them, but you kind of solidify what you're going to do quite early on. But then I think when we went to the vows, I was a bit surprised at how sort of friendly his were, rather than like, you know, kind of, I don't know, they were more like, yeah, like, you know, it's all right, let's see how it goes. But we were really good then. And then he came to my house, like with my parents and stuff, and stayed for a few days, and we had a barbecue with some of my friends and stuff. So like we were like giving it a go afterwards, and then yeah, it just sort of fizzled out a bit.
I think that's kind of everything.
Yeah,
I think that's everything. It's been good though.
It's nice to do it this one. I was excited for it.
Thank you so much for joining us. It was a wonderful conversation. We got a lot of behind the scenes. It's nice to hear what you think about the new cast.
Yeah. And thanks for being so honest. We can tell that you're a very open character, and really appreciate that.
Yeah, I promise we won't bring up horse legs anymore.
That's it, done. Thank
you. You're a goddess.
Aw. Thanks a lot, guys.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.